Hello, my name is Alex, and my favorite film is The Godfather. Yes, even after Barbie made fun of me for it. Welcome to the Podyssey. Cue the music.
So hello, you're listening to incredibly the October episode of the Podyssey. I know we say it every month. It's gone very quick since the last one. We have a special guest in today, a very special guest. We're joined by Sam Allpop from the Odyssey. Sam, hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for joining us. Nicholas is off doing something glamorous, I assume. So Sam is his capable replacement, and I mean, he better watch out because you might nick his spot.
He better watch out. He better watch out. I'm a regular listener, so I've kind of been waiting for my opportunity to just sweep in.
Exactly. That's what happens if you're a regular listener. You listen enough, you'll probably get invited in
Yeah.
to take part in it at some point. Well, look, Sam, thank you so much for joining us. Roberto, good to see you as well. Chaps, what have you been up to? Roberto, let's start with you. What have you been watching since we last spoke?
Yes, so seen a few films recently. I say what I saw most recently at the Odyssey that I really enjoyed was a film called Sing Sing, which is about a rehabilitation program at a prison in the USA. And it's actually based on a real rehabilitation through the arts program where these inmates perform theater as a way of kind of getting more in touch with their emotions, particularly as men in the prison. And it was not only a really well-written film, well-directed, but it also featured people who had actually been on the program playing themselves in the film. And that is a real level of like authenticity to it. Yeah. So not only is it this really incredible story, it's also got a real kind of raw feeling to it. And it kind of all of the themes that the story touches upon, I think, feels a lot more potent because of that. So I really recommend that. And what's funny as well is that me and Sam saw another film recently where people played themselves, and that was Kneecap, which I know Sam, me and you particularly enjoyed as well.
We did. We did. Yeah. Kneecap is, yeah, it's about a band of a rap trio. Based in Northern Ireland, and the film kind of recounts how they came together a couple of years ago. And yes, they're played by their real selves. And they're magnificent actors. It's a pretty incredible film. Just how good they are. I couldn't believe that they were just kind of amateur actors playing themselves. And the music's really good as well. It's a great film. Definitely worth seeing.
I remember, I think Nick and Roberta, you were both excited about that last month. So I'm glad to hear that was good. And then, yeah, it's kind of like it's about them and they play them, but it's sort of acted. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. There's but it's yeah. There's I think they definitely play around as well with kind of genrefying certain events that actually did happen. Particularly because a lot of the film is about kind of some of the tension in Northern Ireland and how the film wants to kind of step away from that and kind of be a bit more positive, and in particular positivity through like their music and see actually doing the hip hop in Irish, which is kind of a very uncommon thing as you find out throughout the film. So yeah, so it's got a lot of positivity in it, but it's also got that emotional weight. So
Yeah,
definitely
it's kind of
recommend
on
it.
a sort of elevated hyper reality, I guess. So it's a bit more probably crazy than the things that have happened in real life did. But if you look at most of the events of the film are in some way or another true to life. So yeah, so it plays the line well of being a biopic, but still being a lot of good fun as well.
Nice. I'm going to have to take a look at that. I've been quite bad on my film watching since we last spoke. I've only watched old ones. So, yeah, I need to get on to Kneecap. So, is there anything else you guys have seen?
Well, we did also, speaking of seeing classics, we also watched Star Wars Episode 5 at the Odyssey earlier
Yeah.
in
How
the
was
month.
that?
Yeah.
One dress up.
Yeah, not as many as the first time for A New Hope. There was quite a lot of people in costume. I think there was a couple for there was a Boba Fett, I think, and a Han Solo for Empire Strikes Back, which is very, very cool.
And that was you too.
Of course. Yeah. I wish. Honestly, I was so jealous of the Boba Fett costume. It's amazing.
So, chaps, I should just mention, because I always forget, and then Roberto will have to remind me, our intro. Good intro today. Thank you to Alex Mackay, who provided the intro. I mean, he's not messed about there. He's got in with The Godfather. So before we leave this section, quick thoughts on The Godfather?
Well, I think, it is a great film. I did a master's in screenwriting this year. So I had to watch it twice in 1 week to talk about it the next week. So that was quite a lot. It is a 3-hour film. But I still loved it at the end of it. So I think that speaks to how great it is. And it does kind of whiz by, I think. It's just a kind of classic story, I suppose, for the rise to power in the gangster underworld.
I also thought it was quite a brave one for him to choose in a funny sort of way, because it's almost like you don't want to be dismissed as basic by saying it. But in fairness, it is rightly Lazarus' favourite film, because it's such a classic, and it was like it spawned so many other amazing bits of art and cinema, I guess.
Yeah, it's also quite a good topical pick, because Francis Ford Coppola has literally just released his newest film, Megalopolis, yes, which we will be showing in October as well. It's been a while since I've seen The Godfather, let alone any other Francis Ford Coppola film, really. I watched a lot of his stuff when I was in uni a couple of years ago, but I have been meaning to go revisit, because he really is kind of he's set templates, not even just the gangster genre, even with some of his other films. I feel like he is a really influential director. And it's always looped back around to where there's the dissent from people who are like, oh, The Godfather's overrated. We're now actually, like, there doesn't need to be some sort of like a reevaluation of it again, almost, because it's left a footprint for sure.
So the new one, what's called Megalopolis or whatever, that's the one where he's pumped in a load of his own cash and made a very long film that some people, I haven't seen it, some people feel is essentially quite mental. Is that right?
It's safe to say the reactions are divisive, but I also think that is also part of the fun of going to see it, because it's kind of him getting to let loose, I suppose, after quite a few years of not being able to make this film the way he's wanted to. It's got a stacked cast, Adam Driver, Lawrence Fishburne, Natalie Emmanuel. I've kind of avoiding plot details because, like you said, I've heard it's crazy, but I just want to go in blind, make up my own opinion and see what's going on. So I am quite looking forward to that later on.
Also, it's his own money. Make what you like.
It's 120 million, I think, of his own money. And he had to sell his winery to finance it. It's crazy.
We'll find out later this month, if it was worth it, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully.
Right, chaps, we'll take a quick break, and then in honour of it being Halloween month, we'll come back and we'll look at some of the horror films coming up at the Odyssey next month, and also talk about some of your own personal favourites. Right, welcome back to part two of the Podyssey. And in this section, we're going to be discussing all things horror. Obviously, it's Halloween coming up this month. Lads, I'm assuming the Odyssey is showing a few horror films in honor of that.
Yep, we've got quite a few. We've got some new ones and some old ones, as usual.
And Sam, you was telling me off air, you've got the new, is it the Demi Moore one?
Yeah, The Substance. Yes, yeah, we're showing that on Wednesday the 23rd. Yes, yeah, I saw it last week. It's a terrific film. It's my favorite film of the year so far, for sure. It's definitely an acquired taste for film, because it's pretty, it's definitely horrific. So if you're looking for a horror fix this month, it's definitely worth going to see. But it is quite extreme, I'd say. It's pretty gruesome. So Demi Moore kind of stars as an actress, who is kind of being pushed out of her job on TV. And so she comes across this experimental drug called The Substance, which can reproduce a kind of younger version of herself, and antics ensue from that point onwards.
And good to see Demi Moore be in a slightly unusual film. I like when kind of big stars go in for sort of slightly weird films like that.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more of a trend nowadays where kind of big actors are able to take bigger risks and do more experimental kind of films, because I think kind of the movie star as a concept is kind of less of a thing than it used to be. I think kind of characters and franchises and IP has kind of taken over that sort of spot. So now I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson is doing a new kind of A24 boxing film, which is coming out in December, which is kind of very left field role for him, because he's kind of used to be doing these huge action films where he kind of plays himself every time. So that one will be very different. So I think that's a similar kind of thing to Demi Moore in The Substance.
Yeah, interesting. But worth a watch. And that's you guys are showing that next month.
We are, yes, on Wednesday the 23rd in the evening.
And any other horrors coming up? And after that, we're going to be talking about you guys and your favourite horror film. But any more coming up that people can look out for?
Well, we do have, each year, we do have our Friday Night Frights, as we call them, which are kind of classic horror films that we play. We've got two pretty strong ones this year, I'd say. So we've got Stanley Kubrick's The Shining on Friday the 18th at 7:30. Yeah, I think definitely the kind of the granddaddy, well, not the granddaddy of horror films, but like in terms of if you ask a lot of people what their favorite horror film is, I think The Shining will be a very common answer, and for good reason, because it is still incredibly unnerving. I think even like a lot of Stanley Kubrick's other films that aren't horror films do have like a sort of unnerving sense about them. But in The Shining, it's just taken to a whole another level. And it's of course just been very influential.
It's kind of callbacks to it in like every other horror film you see nowadays. It seems like, all the imagery, even The Substance has some callbacks to it. So that's worth looking out for in that film.
Did you guys ever watch the follow-up to The Shining with Ewan McGregor?
I did, yes. Dr. Sleep, yeah. Yeah, do you know what? Yeah, I think it was one of those situations where you thought it was just going to fall dead in the water. And I don't know how it performed financially, to be fair. But upon watching it, I do think it was I think the thing is, it didn't necessarily follow on completely from the version of The Shining, the Stanley Kubrick's version. It also kind of took elements from the book and kind of followed on from those. It didn't feel like it was trying too hard to be a successor, but it also had a really engaging story and kind of a nice extension of some of the more fantasy elements, I guess you could say, of The Shining. So yeah, I quite like that one.
I think they had some difficulty getting that made because Stephen King hates The Shining, the Stanley Kubrick version. He made like his own version on TV, which was Stephen King's The Shining, just to kind of compete with it.
Yes, so really, I know about it.
I'm not entirely sure why. I think the film does distort the book quite a bit, and it takes it more into horror territory, I suppose, where the book is more of a character study, I suppose, of the Jack Nicholson character.
Yeah, I think like it's a common thing where authors do have kind of mixed feelings about adaptations a lot of the time. But I think like, you know, both opinions are valid. I think it's perfectly, like, I think The Shining stands on its own as an adaptation as well. So yeah, I highly recommend coming to see that. Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned there was another Friday Fright Night. What's the other one, Roberto?
Yeah, so this one, it's another classic. It's Nightmare on Elm Street, directed by Wes Craven.
Oh my God.
We've got that. Friday the 25th at 7:30.
To use the correct modern terminology, I find Freddy Krueger the most triggering of triggering images on the face of the planet. Like, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with, like, looking. You know when you're a kid and when stuff scares you, but you sort of can't stop yourself looking? I used to seek out the video covers, this old, like, Blockbuster and stuff, to see the Freddy Krueger pictures and then just not sleep for weeks afterwards.
That is, I completely understand that because my parents used to be quite strict about like the films I watched, and especially not like no 15s until you're 15, no 18 until you're 18. But what I would do is like, I would just search up horror movie trailers online. And like growing up, when you watch these films later on, you actually, sometimes the trailers can actually be more terrifying than the films themselves in certain cases, because there's just, they have to hype it up as much as possible. And the less you see, the more scary it actually becomes.
Because your imagination fills the gaps. Can I really unprofessionally jump around and tell you a thing about age limits and films, right? Have you ever seen The Woman in Black, the Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah,
film?
Yeah. That's a great film.
That's a 12.
Isn't
right?
it? It's crazy, isn't it?
So me and my partner, we thought one day, do you know what? It's a wet Sunday. Neither of us particularly favored with horror films. And we thought, well, you know what? It's a 12. Might be a bit jumpy, but it'll be fine. That is one of the most terrifying films I've seen in years. And rightly, is apparently the most complained about 12 in history.
That does add up. Yeah, I was in year 7 when it came out. So I was 11, but most of my friends at school were 12. So they were allowed to see it. And they just came into school and they were just horrified and completely freaked out.
Well, I guess it's because like the censors couldn't tick any boxes, you know, like for stuff you're not supposed to show.
Yeah, I think it's what, like you were saying, Roberto, it's mostly tension, that film, that really gets you. There's not actually that many jump scares in it.
And it's like, you know, there's a lack of gore, but because of just the overall atmosphere, it feels like it should be a 15. And another topical point, because the director of that film, James Watkins, his new horror film, Speak No Evil, is also playing at the Odyssey Tuesday the 29th at 7:30. Which is actually a remake of a Danish film that only came out a couple of years ago. And this remake stars James McAvoy and Mackenzie Davis. And from what I understand, I think this one is a 15.
Yes, I
for
think
certain
it is.
Reasons. but apparently it kind of has that same level of kind of tension. And it's about a family who kind of meet another family who are very like polite and invite them to dinner. And then it kind of plays around with light society and social norms and being kind of someone's house and treading on eggshells around them, from what I've heard like about this film. So I'm looking forward to that as well. I'm definitely going to try and catch that.
It's a great,
so he
great
seems
trailer
to be
for that.
Good director for that kind of stuff.
So, right, chaps, let's get into it then. Best/favorite horror films. Do you want to, I tell you what, Sam, as our extra special guest, do you want to go first?
Sure. I think my favorite horror film is quite a recent one. It's called Saint Maud. It came out during the pandemic. And it's about a young nurse who goes to take care of a woman who's dying of cancer. And she is kind of becoming increasingly obsessed with her own unique take on religion. So she's kind of got this sort of her own individual relationship with God, which kind of starts to take over her life. And it's a really, really powerful film. And extremely terrifying. I loved it. I've seen it quite a few times and it still gets me every single time.
Nuns.
Yeah, they're scary.
Like, I think I'd rather have 3 men in balaclavas break into my house one night than to go to the loo and see like a nun or a Victorian child in the hallway.
Oh, God. something about children as well, isn't it? Just being on their own or to like singing songs. There's so much of that in modern horror films, isn't there? It's so freaky.
It should be the nicest thing ever, like children singing. There's something about it that's absolutely terrifying thanks to horror films.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch Saint Maud, and the funny thing is, I think something recently has like kind of made me more nervous to watch it in terms of scares, because I watched a film by the same director, Rose Glass, I think her name is, called Love Lies Bleeding, which when you look at it, it looks like it's going to be a bit of a crime thriller, and it is. But there's a scene where a character's hallucinating and there's this particular image. And I literally, like, in the cinema, I, like, kind of, like, went back because I got freaked out by it. So I'm actually kind of scared St. Maud is, if it's a full horror film, I'm not going to sleep. So I might have to save that one for a day. Like, I don't need my functions in the next day. So yeah, Dan, that sounds like a good, sounds like a good one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to avoid it. I'm so wet with horror films. Like, the only ones I've watched, so I watched the massive ones, like, obviously The Shining, because it's a good film, like Scream, because, you know, things become a bit of an event and stuff like that. Ones that sneaked in, like What Lies Beneath, where you don't know it's a horror film. But then the one I watched, which, oh my God, it ruined me for ages, was in the cinema. Have you guys had a film called Event Horizon?
Yes, I've been meaning to watch ages.
Oh, right. Okay. So we're in a rare situation where I've watched one and you guys haven't, but I wish it was the other way around. So it's on the poster and in the trailer, it's kind of a space film. So I went with a few mates. It's like, well, okay, you know, it's an 18, but maybe there's just a few guns getting fired off or whatever it might be. It's about a spaceship that goes missing for a long time, and then it reappears, and they find all sorts of, I won't ruin it for you, but find all sorts of terrifying messages on the kind of log and what have you. And essentially, the view is that this spaceship has probably been to hell and come back, and it's not come alone. And oh, God, I spent most of it kind of just staring at the floor of the cinema, trying to avoid the screen. It's absolutely terrifying. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Roberto, talk to us about your favourite horror films.
Oh, it's really hard to pick out a favourite. And I feel like I'm also, because there are horror films that have really scared me, like particularly one I watched recently called Skinamarink, which I watched like intentionally with like the lights off late at night. And it's if you look up this film, you'll see a lot of people also criticizing it for being like really boring because there's lots of shots of just, you know, furniture and more like sound. It's more kind of sound based. But if you immerse yourself in it, it literally, I was so stressed while I was watching it. But I haven't been back. Horror films that I've been back to a lot particularly do actually tend to be more on the fun side of things. And one of them for me is a film called Suspiria, directed by Dario Argento, which, first thing to say about Suspiria, there is one thing that is quite scary about it, and it is the dubbing of the film. And because I don't know why, but there was this practice with Italian films at the time where they wouldn't shoot with sound and then they would dub it over. And sometimes you can kind of tell, you're like, okay, this is a little choppy.
Still in their own language.
In their own language, yeah. Like, the film is in English, but they dubbed it over. Yeah, I think it's the same for the Dollars trilogy as well, which is also another Italian director, where they did dub over actors who were speaking English, and for whatever reason. I think it was just kind of a practice that appeared and then disappeared. But Suspiria, if you watch it, it's a very influential horror film, but when you watch it, you might be taken aback by how simple the storyline actually is. And in fact, if it wasn't directed as well as it was, you might be like, this is kind of rubbish. But it has this incredible set design, incredible lighting. I mean, you'll see immediately the way this film is lit. There's every color of the rainbow somehow makes it into this film. And it really adds this surreal kind of horrible vibe where, you know, okay, this isn't just a slasher film. There's something more sinister going on here. And there is... And also another great thing about the film is the music by a band called Goblin, which is the main theme is this really repetitive kind of melody. And I watched it with a friend, and he like said to me, sat around and he woke up in the morning. He was like, I heard that music in my head the entire night because it's just an earworm.
So it's like,
so that's a film I've gone back to quite a lot.
Unsettling kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. It's like something you don't really notice when you watch the film, but it comes back for you. So yeah, that's definitely one I go back to a lot. How much of a fear factor there is nowadays, I don't know, but definitely in terms of what I feel drawn to a lot, Suspiria is one of those, for sure.
There was a remake a few years ago, wasn't there?
There was, yeah.
Yeah, did you see that? I haven't seen it yet.
Yes, and it's very different, but it does have that same unsettling energy. It's actually directed by Luca Guadagnino, who did Challengers recently, and he has a way with making things feel raw, but also he doesn't like throw gallons of blood at you. You just feel creeped out, I guess is the informal way to put it. I think horror is a genre I've explored more as of recent, because I wasn't really allowed to watch a lot growing up, so I kind of lacked the interest for a while. But recently I have realized the horror genre is very varied. I think that's why there's such a love for it, because there's all sorts of different subgenres and avenues to go down.
You're doing a challenge, aren't you, for this month to watch some horror films, new ones, aren't you?
Yeah, so something to start on an app called Letterboxd, the community will sometimes do, is called Hooptober, which is where you watch a horror film for each day of the month. And I've got a few on my list that I'm like trying to clear out. One is actually by the director of The Substance, called Revenge. It was the director's first film. So I'm looking forward to watching that. And then I've got some classics in there, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, kind of in memory of Donald Sutherland, who passed away recently, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which is, I've heard, a bonkers film, but I'm looking forward to it.
Are you not concerned that you might be mentally damaged by the end of the month? I would be so frightened.
I've thrown in some fun ones. Like, I'm going to watch a film called Alligator, which from what I can tell is about a giant alligator rampaging through New York. So if I watch one that scares me too much, I'll go to a fun one afterwards.
Sort of like Anaconda vein.
Yeah, yeah.
That's keep Jennifer Lopez, maybe LL Cool J, I think.
Yeah. I've been really talking about Anaconda, actually. Maybe that's next year.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, look, incredibly, it's worth a look. I'm not sure. I don't think it bothered the Oscars, but it's a lot of fun. An absolutely enormous snake. A lot of, like, the sort of American celebrities and actors that you might see in our version of the jungle or whatever, but all in an actual jungle with an anaconda getting them. They just kind of get picked off by this massive snake.
I think that's the thing. It's like you can watch really kind of thought-provoking horror films like Get Out, I would also say is one of my favorites, where there's a real kind of potent commentary. But then you could also watch Evil Dead 2 and watch a headless thing run around with a chainsaw on a wire. So there's a lot. There's fun horror, there's serious horror, and it's all there's something for everyone to get creeped out by in Halloween.
Those,
I think
those Jordan Peele ones are so clever, aren't they? Because I saw Get Out.
They really are. Yeah,
properly, incredibly clever. Have you seen? It's called Us.
Yes.
Us. They come out of the sewers. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really off-putting, that one, isn't it?
Oh, that is a freaky, unsettling film. It's very good.
Yeah, because people don't really do very much. It's kind of, it's like duplicates, isn't it? Of people kind of running around.
And how the earth, and they're all coming out at the same time. But that's a great film. But what people like him do with it is so clever. And I guess a bit like that Substance thing, just kind of in amongst the darkness of Demi Moore doing her thing. There's a kind of serious point there about, aging actresses, show business, fragile youth and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a great genre for exploring kind of topics like that, kind of, because it's taking it to the ultimate extreme. So really forces you, to interrogate. I guess that's why so many horror films have religious undertones or explore that sort of imagery. I guess it's a good way for society to have a dialogue with itself about what it believes in and what it's scared of.
So good luck with your challenge, Roberto. That is very much in the rather new category. And I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll take a break there, and then when we're coming back, we'll talk about some of the other stuff you can see at the Odyssey this month. Okay, chaps. So before we go, let us know what else for people like me who are a bit scared of horror, is there any other stuff coming up at the Odyssey October that you might recommend that people should look out for?
Yeah, I think if you want a real antidote from horror films, we do have an event coming up, and it's Paddington Day, in which we are playing Paddington 1 and 2. That's Sunday the 20th. The first film, 11 a.m., and the second film, 2:30 p.m. So if you want to be more family-friendly, definitely. You know, Paddington is, of course, I think he was already iconic before these films came out. I think these films have taken him to a kind of new status, to the point where Nicolas Cage is bringing up Paddington 2 in the film where he plays himself.
Did he?
The unbearable. Yeah, there's a scene where Nicolas Cage is asked to watch Paddington 2 by Pedro Pascal's character, and it cuts to him crying at the end.
I mean, the risk of retreading, no doubt. Paddington 2. Paddington 1 is good, as I remember it. Paddington 2 is an absolute banger.
It's a classic, yeah. It's like a new classic. It's amazing. Yeah,
it's like Hugh Grant's doing a kind of Matthew McConaughey. He sort of, that, and that's part of it. Him in Paddington 2 is like the start of the Hugh Grant fight back. Mm. Yeah, tremendous.
And it's all in anticipation of Paddington in Peru, which is coming in November, so we'll have that on next month as well.
Nice. That's the 20th, is it? Paddington Day. I'm literally making a note of this.
The 20th, 20th of October, 11 a.m. for the first one, 2:30 p.m. for the second one.
Lovely stuff. And anything else people could look out for?
So as we were discussing earlier, we're showing Megalopolis, the new Francis Ford Coppola film, on Thursday the 24th at 7:30. So it's a 3-hour epic, and it's, yeah, Coppola's film, 40 years in the making, that he financed himself, and it explores a man trying to reinvent the society of the city he lives in, which is a kind of New York meets ancient Rome, futuristic sort of society. It'll be spectacular visually, if nothing else, but definitely one to see because it's causing reactions on every possible level. People love it and hate it and everything in between.
I'm really intrigued by that film. I mean, we spoke about it earlier, but it sounds mad, but I do really want to see it. And also, the cast is like amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty much every major actor after the last couple of years has got a role in it in one way or another. I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess he called in a lot of favors to get that cast. And also, obviously, he put a lot of his own money behind it as well. So it's a big passion project. For the man who brought us The Godfather that we talked about earlier and Apocalypse Now, I think definitely worth giving it a whirl.
Right, nice. And people can obviously check out all of the listings online by going to your guys' website. Anything else you want to highlight before we let everybody go?
I think it'd be good to highlight, while not necessarily in the horror genre, some spookier films, but on a kind of different level. Particularly, we do have the premiere of Beetlejuice, which of course is a classic Tim Burton comedy, which has finally got its sequel with Michael Keaton returning as the titular character. So you can check out, we've got quite a lot of listings for that film coming up. We've also got on Halloween night, not exactly a horror film, but we do have a absolute classic, and as a British person, we've definitely got to bring up that we are showing Shaun of the Dead Thursday the 31st at 7:30, which honestly is one of my favourite films. As it says on the tagline, a rom-com with zombies.
Great film. And I think a horror, right? If there's a zombie in it and people die,
it's got horror elements at the very least. Yeah, there's a few jump scares in there. I think it qualifies.
Right, chaps. Well, incredibly, we're nearly out of time. It goes quick. And I should say, if you're listening today, it might have sounded a tiny bit different. We recorded this one virtually. We'll be back in the studio next month. Hopefully, it was edited well enough that you didn't notice anything at all. And before we go, Sam, thank you so much for stepping in today.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been great fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, please do come back. Please do come back. We've loved having you. So look, Sam, which you may or may not know, is we normally get a list to suggest how we should say goodbye, but I think today we're going to have to say goodbye in the style of a horror film trailer or character.
Ooh.
Make what you will.
Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, I guess a Dracula impression might have to be the way. That'll be the way.
We're going to say goodbye in the style of Dracula, whatever that means to you. And I guess you can go first. Thank you, people, for listening. Goodbye, please.
Thank you for listening. I want to drink your blood. Goodbye.
It's very good. Very good.
That's going to be hard to top. That's going to be hard to top. Okay. Thank you for listening to the Odyssey. Goodbye.
Roberto committed there.
The character came in and just, he became me. And I couldn't even, I blacked out there for a minute.
Hey.
Thank you so much for listening to the Odyssey. Right, that's been one of the worst we've ever done.
Thank
you, Jack. Absolute pleasure as always. Thank you to you for listening. Go and check out all those great things at the Odyssey, and we'll be back with you next month. Thanks a lot, chaps.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Thanks for listening. If you want to drop us a line here at the Podyssey, you can email me at neil.rodger@mix926.com with your thoughts on the show, your views on the films we've talked about, and if you're feeling brave, you could do our next intro or set our next final challenge. You can find out all about what's on at the Odyssey or what's going on with Mix 92.6 FM by checking out the websites and searching them on all the socials where they can both be found.